The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Lord knows. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the National Intel Report. I am your guest host this Tuesday, November 14th, 2017, here on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And it is the National Intel Report, but as is customary for me, we'll probably go outside the boundaries of the 48 contiguous and bounce around a little bit, because it's all a big connected story, isn't it? There's really no escaping that, unfortunately. Because of our misguided foreign policy, if you can even call it that, a la a rogue political regime, things in the world are, well, perilous, shall we say. And there have been a number of interesting things happening lately. Speaking of interesting things happening here, domestically, not abroad, I won't say homeland because we're not Nazis. The latest incident is the Northern California shootings, these random shootings that are very strange. The story, as is typically the case, has been very fluid initially, and I actually posted a tweet on that. Because it's the same kind of thing. We always see these stories where the news media is a little bit too quick. The mainstream press is a little too quick with the story, and as a result, I think that proves injurious oftentimes. And I included a screenshot of the two Fox News tweets that they posted. The headline was, "Shooting near California elementary school leaves several dead, children wounded," which, you know, the mind reads quickly and you see several dead children, basically, is kind of what your mind reads if you read it quickly, which I'm sure is, you know, I would highly doubt is an accident, is what I'll say. And then the next tweet of the same story reads, "Two children shot near California school were wounded, but not killed as previously reported," which is not a good thing either. I'm not downplaying tragedy. As I always say, it's tragic and it's not good. This is not okay. But there is this rush to publish the most sensational, shocking headline. And I'm going to have to go back and find it. There was a CNN executive about 10 years ago who admitted, you know, he was part of a panel and they were discussing the news of the day, and he said, well, you know, we have to be honest though, because we know we have a policy, if not here at CNN, it's a culture within the mainstream media that it's how we make money. This sensational, this crisis, this fear-mongering, it's how we make money. It's how we get ratings. It's how we make money. It's how we get people to watch. Incidentally, it's also a form of trauma-based mind control, but I digress. So it's interesting how these stories sort of evolve. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, some people are smart and they know what the solution is. We haven't completely lost our minds in this country yet. There are some places in Texas and places, other places in the country, some you wouldn't suspect, like this church in New York, Lighthouse Mexico Church of God. Pastor Ronald Russell was on Fox and Friends yesterday, and listen to what he had to say, his pearls of wisdom. Go ahead, please.
A church welcoming parishioners to bring their guns to Sunday worship services after the tragic shooting in Texas. It's called the Lighthouse Mexico Church of God. It's in upstate New York, and posting this message saying, quote, "We say it again, we are not a gun-free zone." That's the sign in front of their church. Joining us now is the pastor of that church, Ronald Russell. Pastor, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So why did you decide to do this?
To send a strong message that it's not going to happen in our church. I have like 40 kids, and they're very valuable to us. And to have someone think they're going to come in and shoot the place up, that's not going to happen.
You say, we're looking at the sign right now, it says, "We say it again, we are not a gun-free zone." You've done this before, right?
Yes, we have. We've noticed in times past, ever since Sandy Hook, that these individuals, whether it's Sandy Hook, whether it's in San Bernardino, people like to go to gun-free zones to shoot them up. And we're just putting out a warning that we believe in the Second Amendment, and we do carry. Yeah. And it's not going to happen in our church.
You mess with us, we'll mess with you. Have you had any instances where someone in the church has had to pull out their gun to protect someone in the church?
No, we did have a incident where one of our young ladies was sexually assaulted. This was not in the church, but consequently, we hired a couple of sheriff deputies to come in and train all our women, train our young ladies, what to do whenever they're, well, self-defense, whenever they're attacked.
Wow, what's the reaction?
We believe in empowering our women, our kids, our girls.
That's great.
I'm sorry.
I hope that young lady's okay. What is the reaction from your community, from your parishioners? Have you lost people that have gone to your church, or is it attracting more people?
Well, we've seen more people come in. It's like if a thief comes to your house and he knows you're there, he's not going to come to your house. He's going to go to the house next door. And all these shootings, it appears that the majority of them, once they do their damage, they just shoot themselves. It's like that's what they're there for. And if they know, you don't see any of these shooters going to a cop station. And understand the police, they're great in responding, but if they have to respond, that means something's already happened. The damage has already taken place. Mm-hmm. And it's the first 3 minutes, the first 5 minutes that they come into that that's when all the damage is being done.
Right.
And it takes a good guy with a gun to stop a bad guy with a gun.
Well, Pastor Russell, we appreciate you being here. I know Pastor Jeffress of First Baptist in Dallas said he's pushing the same thing. You're allowed to carry in his church if you have a permit. Thank you. God bless you. Thanks for what you're doing.
God bless you, and thank you so much.
There you go. You know, that's pretty straightforward. Some sensible people left in this country. As Robert Heinlein put it, in the first place, an armed society is a polite society. Manners are good when one may have to back up his acts with his life. For me, Robert Heinlein wrote, politeness is a sine qua non of civilization. In other words, it's a must-have. That's a personal evaluation only, he wrote, but gunfighting has a strong biological use for those evolutionists and eugenicists, perhaps, the Darwin Award advocates. Heinlein wrote, "We do not have enough things to kill off the weak and stupid these days." Actually, parenthetically, I would add, it's actually the weak and stupid that are the eugenicists and the evolutionists who have kind of hijacked society, unfortunately. But again, I digress. They conscript the brilliant and courageous to their evil and nefarious causes. But continuing from Robert Heinlein's Beyond This Horizon, he wrote, But to stay alive as an armed citizen, a man has to be either quick with his wits or with his hands, preferably both. It's a good thing. I agree. I think Robert Heinlein had a good point. It's a good thing. As Colonel Jeff Cooper would have put it, you know, history keeps trying to get us, encourage us to forget about Colonel Jeff Cooper, even though special forces are still using his four rules. So on the one hand, we're using his four rules. On the other hand, we're supposed to, so which is it? We forget about the guy, you know, but not his four rules. Doesn't make sense. Anyway, as Colonel Jeff Cooper would have said, the media insist, because that's what always happens. We know it's coming. It's going to be one of those strategy of tension, hop into the lap of your kidnapper, hug your kidnapper. It's the evil gun's fault, and only your kidnapper can save you. Rahm Emanuel, right? Rahm, opportunities of crisis, Emanuel. Here we go, thinking like an arsonist. But the way Colonel Jeff Cooper put it, the media insist that crime is the major concern of the American public today. In this connection, they generally push the point that a disarmed society would be a crime-free society. They will not accept the truth that if you take all the guns out off the street, you will still have a crime problem. Whereas if you take the criminals off the street, you cannot have a gun problem. Oh, logic. You know, anecdotally, I like the way that Jeff Cooper put it too, when he said hoplophobia is a mental disturbance characterized by irrational aversion to weapons as opposed to justified apprehension about those who may wield them. And it kind of reminds me of a lot of the millennials today, unfortunately. No offense to any of the millennials in the audience, because honestly, I would chalk it up more to Miyagi's words, no such thing as bad student, only bad teacher, unfortunately. But perhaps to maybe just further underscore the point, speaking of Jeff Cooper's remarks, though he was misguided on some things, no one really can argue that. I don't think anyone with any sense. I think he was a little misled on the events of September 11th, quite frankly, as is not uncommon, unfortunately. But his underlying sentiment, nonetheless, I think was apropos when he said, weapons protect the weak from the strong, not the other way around. The passengers of Flight 93 showed us the way to defend ourselves. They fought back. If every passenger fought back immediately, no terrorist could succeed. If every victim fought back immediately, no criminal could succeed. No one lives forever. And he added that if everyone on Flight 93 was packing heat, then the incidents of that day probably would have gone differently. And though we can speculate based on, you know, how much or little you know about that scenario, I like the way Katie Johnstone put it there. You know, when it comes to 9/11, there are two kinds of people: those who don't know what happened and those who did it. So the rest of us don't know exactly what happened, but if you're listening to this network, you have a pretty good idea that there were some characters in the know, and that at the very least, some people obviously stepped out of the way, or there were some stand downs, so to speak, that led to that. Anyway, whatever the case, Jeff Cooper's remarks, I think, to that end are apropos. And, you know, this gets to these sort of watershed moments that we have in society. We've had a number of these incidents lately, but, you know, this gun discussion goes back, obviously, decades, certainly back to the 90s. We've been hearing these kinds of arguments, and that was, you know, through the 90s was one of the moments when Jeff Cooper's remarks were really starting to gain prominence, I think, largely because of this issue, the attack by folks like Manette Reno, for example, and her, if I remember correctly, paraphrasing her remarks, registration is a pretext to confiscation, basically, is the way that she put it. So we've been seeing this push, and fortunately, as that clip that we played from Fox News yesterday. Pastor Ronald Russell at the Lighthouse Mexico Church of God in upstate New York. Fortunately, there are some folks that still have their heads screwed on straight. And the reader board of their church actually says, we say it again, we are not a gun-free zone. And it's sad that that has to happen, but I'll bet you Pastor Russell and his parishioners probably will worship in peace, if you know what I mean. It's the old cliche, when seconds count, you know, authorities are just minutes away and so forth. As he said, you know, when the damage is done is when the calls come in. No one is calling when they're trying to run for their life. Again, Jeff Cooper's remarks come to mind. He said, the best an unarmed civilian can do is flee from evil. But if an armed citizen is confronted, then obviously things go differently. So what I've been saying on my broadcast lately, I'll just put it quite frankly, there are a number of things going on these days. We're living in perilous times. If you've been watching the AI discussion and what's been happening there, folks ask me sometimes, and the subject of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies comes up, is it a good thing? I say absolutely not. I'm convinced it is the Revelation 13 economy. No man may buy or sell without the mark. That is about to replace capitalism, essentially. When you read books like Jeremy Rifkin's book about technocracy, essentially, the zero marginal cost society, the Internet of Things, the collaborative commons, and the eclipse of capitalism, that's not hyperbole. He's being literal. They intend to make capitalism go away. Patrick Wood has been sounding the alarm. His book, Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, was published back in 2014. He's been saying this. A new international economic order. Now we understand what they meant. It's digital. It's resource-based. It's nothing like you've ever seen. If you don't understand it, go research it. It's frightening. So these are perilous times, and my advice is do exactly what the bad guys tell you not to do. Hoard gold, hoard bullets, have lots of kids. And that doesn't constitute medical advice or legal advice and all of the other disclaimers that have to go along with that statement, unfortunately, these days. But again, I digress. So speaking of watershed moments, you know, we're seeing some interesting things happening these days. One of the stories that you'll find on the Republic Broadcasting website right now is the story published yesterday. Green Beret discovered seals illicit cash, pun I suppose intended. Then he was killed. And that's from the Daily Beast, which broke the story. The story surrounding the slaying of Staff Sergeant Logan Melger, it just keeps unraveling, as the story says. These two SEALs have subsequently been trying to get their story straight, and that's very obviously a very tragic and unfortunate set of events. But this really kind of speaks to a broader epidemic. Matthew Cole tweeted about this story. And in fact, Matthew Cole over at The Intercept wrote a Carrion article that was referenced in the Daily Beast story. And it's the story of one of the members of SEAL Team 6, Petty Officer Anthony DeDolph, being a mixed martial arts fighter. The title of Matthew Cole's story is Navy SEAL Under Investigation and Death of Green Beret is a former mixed martial arts fighter. If you're not familiar with the whole story, go to the Republic Broadcasting website, read the story. Green Beret discovers SEAL's illicit cash. Then he was killed. It's a very sad and tragic story, like I said. I mean, these are America's best, bravest, most courageous. These are the elite fighting forces, and unfortunately, we don't ever expect to see anything like this happen unless you have been following the subtext of what's been happening in the military and really in our culture. Quite frankly, it just goes back to the inescapable reality of some hard truths, you know, questions. If you're listening to this network, you're probably familiar with Smedley Butler blowing the whistle on the fascist conspiracy, right? Back in the 30s, and the McCormick-Dickstein Committee being commissioned. And so there was this top level fascist conspiracy, and supposedly it was thwarted. Right, Smedley Butler was going to lead the a de facto military force to essentially depose the president. The president's special, I forget what the official designation is. But what's interesting is shortly after this coup was ostensibly thwarted, we got all of this symbolism. You know, those fascies in the back of Congress and on dimes in different places, which was interesting. For the fascist conspiracy not to have succeeded, why did we all of a sudden get all of its emblems? As if the conspirators were flaunting it in our faces that they had won, even though allegedly they had not. For more on that, one of my favorite pieces, by the way, is the little-known article series by John Spivak back in 1935 titled Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy, Testimony That the Dickstein Committee Suppressed. The title really says it all. And I think it's essential reading because, you know, folks will say, well, that there were rumors that was all a put-up job and everything, which is interesting because if you read Spivak's article series, I mean, he has the handwritten notes, Morgan-controlled interests, names, companies, a very elaborate mapping of who's who in the zoo, so to speak. So it's hard to imagine that you would have that kind of elaborate detail. It seems like a cover-up of a cover-up is what I'm saying. So the Dickstein Committee suppressed Smedley Butler's testimony, redacted, occluded the best parts, certainly. And then Spivak wrote the article series. There were some others that blew the whistle on it as well, obviously. But Spivak's article series are short and sweet and quick read. So to say that was a con just doesn't make sense and would seem like more of an effective cover. Anyway, one of the best excerpts from the article, the first article, to my knowledge, because, you know, people get hung up on stuff all the time. It's the those guys. It's the them. And the founders kind of cautioned us away from that. If you listen to Jefferson or Washington or Madison or Jackson or any number of the founders, of course we're supposed to remain eternally vigilant, speaking of Jackson, but we're not supposed to get hung up on people with this last name or people who look like that or people who are part of this group. I like the way that Thomas Jefferson put it in his bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge. In the preamble to the bill, he put it this way. He said, speaking of governments and how to prevent them from going bad, so to speak, from being spoiled, Whereas it appeareth that, however, certain forms of government are better calculated than others to protect individuals in the free exercise of their natural rights, and are at the same time themselves better guarded against degeneracy, yet experience hath shown that even under the best forms, those entrusted with power have in time and by slow operations perverted it into tyranny. Well, how do you prevent that? One of the wisest statesmen who ever lived said, "It is believed that the most effectual means of preventing this would be to illuminate as far as practicable the minds of the people at large, and more especially," here's the punchline, "to give them knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth, that possessed thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes, and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes." So, What's the remedy to keep these things from happening? To give the people the knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth, that possessed thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes, and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. Sounds like words of wisdom we have heard before, doesn't it? Sounds like that guy Santayana, that's right, when he said, we remember the kind of abridgment of the excerpt or the quote, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." But what context was he speaking to? And the broader quote is, "Progress, far from consisting in change, don't we consider ourselves progressive in America today?" Well, we might not, because we understand the duplicitous and deceptive nature of that term these days. But Santayana said, "Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual." Are we perpetually infantile savages in America these days? Then he wrote, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So, this is the reminder of history. And back to Spivak's article series, Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy, he wrote, "It will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind, including racial and religious ones. The anti-Semitic character of Nazism has been abundantly demonstrated in these pages. Nevertheless, this article and succeeding ones will reveal Jewish financiers working with fascist groups, which, if successful, would unquestionably heighten the wave of hate the Jew propaganda." So how does that make sense? It is a big fascist cabal. It's Wall Street's fascist conspiracy. Like Spivak wrote, financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind. And sure, there are certain types of players who play their roles, and certain actors play leading roles and others play supporting roles, but still, everyone's all part of the same con game. So, again, back to Jefferson's words, we just need to give ourselves those facts which history exhibiteth, so that possessed thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, we may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes, and prompt to exert our natural powers to defeat its purposes. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's National Intel Report, this Tuesday, November 14th, 2017. Again, I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley, regular host of Road Warrior Radio on this network exclusively. And real quick, a little bit of housekeeping. You heard the message. This is a special network. And you'll notice that you don't hear any, like you hear with public broadcasting, I always say, you know, you don't hear about a MacArthur grant, John T. and Catherine MacArthur grant, Knight Foundation grant, Sloan, you know, Ford Foundation. Where are the grants? Maybe it's just because, you know, RBN doesn't have good grant writers. No, actually, it's not that. It's because the broadcasts and the information on this network are really kind of inimical to the Rhodes Milner Roundtable network of so-called philanthropical organizations. These NGOs and NPOs, the NGO-NPO network, that is really infecting the world. Without getting too far off on a tangent, I think it's interesting that George Soros' native Hungary has said no to the Open Society Foundation network, and Russia has said the same thing. You know, these countries, they might be onto something. So there are these proliferating NPOs and NGOs, more than 6,000 now around the world, largely an outgrowth of the 20th century military-industrial complex, really kind of the last half of the 20th century. And they're all the organizations of the pirates, the Ivy League pirates, like the Skull and Bones. You know, they're pirates, Ivy League pirates. So they have these dead organizations that live on in perpetuity, dead pirates creating dead organizations. And I agree with Jefferson when he said the earth belongs in usufruct to the living. But I digress. So you heard the call for support, the clarion call for support. This network appreciates your generous support. And so you can call to donate, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Again, 800-724-2719. Extension 3. You can also mail in a check, money order, or dollars wrapped in foil if you want. Foil wrapped dollars to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And again, your support is greatly appreciated, because you won't hear that this broadcast or this network is underwritten by Ford, Sloan, MacArthur, Knight, etc., because, well, it's, again, it's inimical to that last will and testament of Cecil Rhodes, you know, where he said we need to consolidate wealth and power so that we can subvert the common folks and, well, do what's basically happening these days. Anyway, getting back to the point, so back on topic, what happened, the story, however accurate the picture is and the details are, the story as reported, the headline at RBN, Green Beret discovered SEALs illicit cash, then he was killed. That, of course, is the Daily Beast story. And as I said, that Daily Beast story links to Matthew Cole's story about Petty Officer Anthony Didolph. And that, if you are interested in paying attention, perhaps you already know, links to or can connect you to some of Matthew Cole's other reporting on this subject matter. At the end of the story, for example, you should see two related links. One, that the Crimes of SEAL Team 6, which was an article series that he wrote back in January of this year after 2 years of investigative research. And then the response article to that series from SEAL Team 6. And the title of that is SEAL Team 6 Responds to the Intercept's Investigation of Its War Crimes. And the TLDR on that, I suppose, is that the leadership of SEAL Team 6 circulated internal memos to the effect that the Intercept articles by Matthew Cole were not to be discussed publicly or privately to limit circulation of the article, which is interesting. But if you get a chance, I would encourage you, getting back to the epidemic that I was speaking to, I would encourage you to read Matthew Cole's article series from January titled The Crimes of SEAL Team 6. And believe me, I am the last person who would want to cast aspersions on our armed forces. I love my country. I'm not anti-government. I'm not anti-military, but I am anti-tyranny. I agree with Edward Abbey that a patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government. And what we have today in America is a rogue political regime that is a far cry from what the founders gave us. I've done countless hours of broadcasts on the administrative fourth branch. If you don't know about it, go look up what Senator Pat McCarran said in 1946 on the Senate floor as Congress was passing the Administrative Procedure Act. He said they had created a fourth branch. He was very literal. He reiterated it several times. He said Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans now, it's virtually everyone, whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. So my first question after telling people that, and folks, you know, I ask them, you ask kids in school, how many branches of government are there? Well, there are the three duly constituted, right? Executive, legislative, and judicial. But what about that fourth branch Senator McCarran said they had formally created? Fourth branch, administrative in nature, he said. And he reiterated, again, he said executive, legislative, judicial, and administrative. So my first question after folks learn that is, so which branch touches the citizen? Or more specifically, more appropriately, the question then becomes, the White House doesn't come to your door. Capitol Hill doesn't come to your door. The Supreme Court doesn't come to your door. But what branch of the government does Social Security Administration reside in? IRS, DSHS, DHS. Name a, you know, CIA, FBI, DEA, on and on the list goes. The 400 plus agencies, virtually all of them reside in the administrative branch. But I digress. So we've had a marked departure, obviously. I'm not anti-government. I think the Constitution is wise in Article 1, Section 8, in prescribing very limited confines to standing armies. The father of the Constitution, James Madison, was very outspoken about that subject matter. Article 1, Section 8 says that Congress has the power to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money that to that use shall be for longer than a term of 2 years. Who has the power to declare war? Congress. When was the last time Congress declared war? December 8, 1941. People say, well, it takes a long time. Really? Pearl Harbor was attacked Sunday, December 7th, 1941. FDR was in Congress the following day saying, Congress, we need to declare war. Guess what? Congress did the next day. It doesn't take long. But again, I digress. So Congress has the power to do these things. We can see after we've been in Afghanistan for 16 years, spent $1 trillion, lost our own people, killed people that should never have died, and all of the atrocities that are being committed around the world, not to mention the fact that, speaking of the watershed moment, the CIA's Operation Cyclone created the Mujahideen, and both sides of a conflict, as Zbigniew Brzezinski, President Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, admitted, really sort of defined this culture of war and terrorism, perpetual war and terrorism, the long war, where, as Orwell wrote, it will just disappear because it's endless. Concept of war will just disappear. It's endless war. So we have to come to terms with these realities. And the story that Matthew Cole wrote back in January really should be a sobering storyline. The crimes of SEAL Team 6, and as he says at the opening of the article, as he wrote, officially known as the Navy Special Warfare Development Group, or DEV Group, SEAL Team 6 is today the most celebrated of the U.S. military special mission units. But hidden behind the heroic narratives is a darker, more troubling story of revenge ops, unjustified killings, mutilations, and other atrocities, a pattern of criminal violence that emerged soon after the Afghan war began and was tolerated and covered up by the command's leadership. So you'll find a couple of things. First of all, if you do any research into the story of Staff Sergeant Logan Melger and his tragic and untimely passing, you'll find that that's not an isolated incident. This very scenario is not an isolated incident, and I leave it to you to search that out. But you'll also find, reading Matthew Cole's article, the series back in January, The Crimes of SEAL Team 6, you'll discover that there's a sort of bloodlust, not just in the military, but in the most celebrated of the U.S. military's special mission units, as Matthew Cole puts it. That is a sad and tragic development. But getting back to what I was saying earlier, if you understand where we've come from, it's not terribly surprising, because, I mean, honestly, the question arises, was that fascist conspiracy successful? And more importantly, coming through World War II, a lot of people scratched their heads on exactly who won, because when the Russians were going to prosecute the Nazi war criminals, America granted them diplomatic immunity through the CIA's Operation Paperclip, and we imported the best and the brightest of the Nazi scientists and some of the leadership, and more than 1,000 of those folks. And the most troubling aspect of that is that you can see very clearly, if you do any kind of research, not only did we get the science and some of the other aspects of the Nazi regime, I mean, you know, Wernher von Braun, the celebrated rocket scientist, card-carrying Nazi, no way around it. And there were others, too, that made it to high levels of American military ranks that were decorated Nazi officers. These are very troubling historical reminders, I suppose. But, you know, we need to come to grips with this stuff. So Operation Paperclip, we import Nazi science, but along with it, we also brought the occult ritual practices. And this is an uncomfortable fact of history that is constantly, some folks are seeking to write that out of history. There have been articles that have literally been titled NASA founder written out of NASA history. Jack Parsons, of course. And if you just go look at Jack Parsons' Wikipedia entry, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You know, conjuring the devil at an early age and being freaked out because he thought he was successful. It's that kind of occult ritual practice that the Nazis were engaged in, and it was part of their science. They believed it was part of their science. You know, the summoning, the conjuring, and all of that was part of their science, and we imported that. And it's impossible to import the science without getting some of that other stuff on you. And unfortunately, and as you know, you listen to this network, it's a much broader story than that. You know, the Bush family comes specifically to mind, for example, and their affiliates, especially Skull and Bones and some of the peripheral characters in that sort of subplot. But again, I digress, and we're running out of time. So it's this occult nonsense, this darkness that comes along with all of the science that infects, you know, especially coming into this era of the war on terror, this post 9/11 era. You know, the Bush 2 administration seems really to have sort of infused administrative leadership with this bloodlust. Look at what Bush did. He was a criminal. Everyone, you know, even his supporters by the end of his administration thought, you know what, we should probably lock him up. And then Obama obviously goes past that. Trump is set to eclipse both of them combined. And all of that reminds me of Friedrich Hayek's words from Chapter 10 of The Road to Serfdom. Why the worst get on top? This is precisely why. And then eventually you get to a point where everyone's looking for a savior. We need a savior to save us essentially from ourselves. But really, we need to back off, throttle down, and unfortunately, we're careening ahead, full speed ahead. So when we see incidents like the tragic story of the slaying of Staff Sergeant Logan Melger, I don't think we should just look at it as a story the way that it is. I think we should step back and maybe look a little closer. Again, the Daily Beast article links to Matthew Cole's Tandem article. Again, the headline on that, Navy SEAL under investigation and death of Green Beret as a former mixed martial arts fighter. But then again, as I said earlier, you will find Matthew Cole's article from January, The Crimes of SEAL Team 6. That's where you really need to start looking into the epidemic that we're facing. And I will Matthew Cole was on Democracy Now! When his article series came out. He did a couple of interviews on Democracy Now! And this, again, was after 2 years' worth of investigation. 18 former and current SEAL Team 6 operators were interviewed for the... And so this wasn't just something that he glossed over on the internet. This was a major research project. And there have been some other issues that I'm not going to get into, but hopefully you understand the problem. At least this is a primer on it. Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I can't believe I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's National Intel Report. Again, final segment of the first hour, excuse me, of today's National Intel Report. I have been your guest host, Chris Sinkley, this Tuesday, November 14th, 2017. And just to kind of punctuate that point or underscore it, back to the words of kind of circling back, coming full circle, the words of Jeff Cooper, as he put it, I've long had a tendency to tie marksmanship to morality. The essence of good marksmanship is self-control, and self-control is the essence of good citizenship. It is too easy to say that a good shot is automatically a good man, but it would be equally incorrect to ignore the connection. So that's kind of the operative concept. That's what we should kind of try to embody and instill. Jefferson talked about the fact that his favorite form of exercise, preferred form of exercise, was firearms. Always have your sidearm handy. So that's essential. But so what happened here with the subject that I'm talking about? Well, you know, back to the founders from Jeff Cooper, back to the founders. And I've talked about this many times. Patrick Henry warned us, and he said that if we lost virtue, morality, and religion, we were done. Conquered, fallen, conquered indeed. The way that he put it, he saw dangers, but he said his greatest apprehension was the destroying of the great pillars of all government and social life. I mean, virtue, morality, and religion. This is the armor, my friend, he said, and this alone that renders us invincible. These are the tactics we should study. If we lose these, we are conquered, fallen indeed. And the founders put it similarly. Benjamin Franklin said only virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. You will recall perhaps recently CIA Director Mike Pompeo said the agency is set to become more vicious. This is the agency that created the existential threat we ostensibly face today. It's becoming more vicious. This is sort of emblematic of the epidemic we face in this society. It's high time we return to virtue, morality, and religion. And on religion, I always say, I refer to it in the James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 sense. Anyway, that'll do it for the first hour of today's National Intel Report. Stay tuned for Jeff Bennett in the second hour doing his biweekly special, Protecting Your Wealth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.